A few years ago, I had the opportunity to work as a hospital chaplain in one of the most delicate places I have ever set foot, UNC Hospital's Medical Intensive Care Unit. Now, this was a place of threshold for most people. It was either a threshold into a journey of healing or a threshold into a journey to the life beyond. Very rarely was there a patient with whom I met who remained the same status day to day. In the threshold moments of our lives, many patients often put into perspective for themselves things that they needed to take care of. They spent their time trying to arrange their affairs, trying to mend distant relationships, pass on wisdom to younger generations. For most of these people, it was now or never, as they stood with one foot on earth and one foot in heaven, waiting to discover which way they would move. It's amazing how things come into perspective in these kinds of threshold times in our lives. And the impulse to lay everything out clearly, to get it all out into the open, into the air, is a powerful one. I think this morning, Jesus is standing on a threshold of his own. In the gospel lesson today, it is encouched between Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and his feast at the Last Supper with his disciples. Suddenly, here is our Christ in Jerusalem faced with the fact of his own impending demise. He's standing on his own threshold. And again, just as it's happened in his whole life, he meets up with the antagonists, the chief priests and the elders. And again, just like it's happened in his whole life, they question his authority and his teaching. But this time Jesus is different. These questions happen this time on Jesus' threshold. This time Christ needs to get his message across. And he needs to do it soon. A rich man bought a vineyard and fixed it up to be a profitable place of business. He turned it over to farmhands and went on a trip. When the time of the harvest came, he sent his servants back to collect the profits. Those servants were beaten up or killed. So the rich man sent more servants. And the same thing happened. Thinking that the farmhands would be more respectful of his own flesh and blood, the rich man sent his son, whom the farmhands killed so that they could make more money from his inheritance. This week I spent the day at the diocesan house with a bunch of new clergy and Bishop Curry. At our noonday Eucharist, Bishop Curry spoke about the only two real religions of this world. Only two? You might be asking yourself that. In fact, your hamster in your head might start getting on his wheel and running faster and faster. Surely there have got to be more than two religions in this world. I know I certainly asked myself that. What could he possibly mean? He explained that the only two religions that existed in the world were the religion of exclusion and judgment and the religion of inclusion and grace. Every major world religion, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, every one of those has pockets of radical judgment and exclusion of the other. Whether it's exclusion by religion, nationality, sexuality, social status, purity laws, race, or simply the fact that they just don't like the other person. Every religion also has pockets of radical welcome. Pockets where they bring people in and nurture people to grow. Jesus spent his life watching the chief priests and Pharisees decide who was in and who was out. He spent his life watching a people take his personal religion and turn it into the first kind of religion, the religion of judgment and exclusion. And of course, the chief priests and the Pharisees were always included in the in-group. In a way, he was looking at the difference between the two religions. And as he stood on this threshold between life and death, he knew that he had to get his message across now. There was no time to waste. This parable that he told was probably the most extreme and the most violent parable he's ever told. It's meant to hit his listeners in the gut. The kingdom of God is entrusted to you, listeners, you chief priests, you scribes, you Pharisees, you elders, you students, you frequenters of the temple. You are the ones who hold this kingdom, and you are the ones who decide which of the two real religions you're going to take. And you are the one who's deciding to exclude people. Will you follow God's teaching to love God and love your neighbors? Or will you live by the worldly standards of those who you think deserve to be a part of your group? Will you, as the farmhands, decide to stay on a case-by-case basis and decide on the people who you're going to invite into the vineyard? Or will you, as God does, live according to the all-inclusive, unbounding love and grace given to each of us? This was one of Christ's ultimate messages. We are trusted by God to keep God's vineyard. We are trusted by God to keep God's vineyard. Today at St. Paul's, we stand on a certain kind of threshold of our own. Of course, we're not in the in-between between parish life and parish death. We certainly are a healthy community. But we are in the in-between of finishing one year and starting a next. As many of you know, and hopefully all of you have experienced, we have been followers on the side of grace. We have been trying to live into this religion of inclusivity and grace. We have tried to be a constant place that nurtures the helpless and loves the loveless, a place where spirits can come and be encouraged to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Of course, because we're a human institution, there's always going to be a growing edge for us, but we continue to function with love being our primary purpose. The way that we do that kind of functioning is by the very subject of the sentence that I'm speaking right now. We. We are the laborers in the vineyard. We are the ones whom God entrusts the vineyard to. We are the ones who stand at the open gate. We are the pastoral response team. We are the Sunday school teachers. We are the ushers. We are the newsletter folders. And we are the guitar players. We are the welcomers. We bring people in. We make coffee. We buy nets for life. We cook lobsters. We drive the youth to the youth retreat. We are St. Paul's. And we are what makes St. Paul's St. Paul's. And we are what makes St. Paul's the body of Christ. So friends, today as we celebrate the God who entrusts us with God's vineyard, let us not think just about how we can live into that grace that Christ taught us, but let us also think about how we can continue to keep the vineyard that God gave us thriving. Let us figure out those places where we can go, those places where we can fit here at St. Paul's to keep that vineyard thriving. Let us dream deep, God's dream, and imagine ways in which we can continue to be the we, not the you, not the you, not the me, not the Sally, not the choir, the we that keeps this vineyard alive.